Let's not waste any time with it. Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. We go to our first guest. He is an NFL Network analyst. He is a Super Bowl champion. He played 9 years in the NFL, 433 receptions, 5,861 receiving yards, 51 touchdowns. He is currently the coach of the 6U Outlaws football team. You can follow him on Twitter at 89JonesNTAF, and you can see him throughout the week on NFL Network's NFL Total Access at 7 p.m. Eastern. My guest is James Jones. James, good to have you back. How are you?
What's going on, my man?
My man. So you've got two conference championship games that go to OT, but it is hard to start anywhere other than the no call in the Rams-Saints game. I got to ask you, what was your reaction when you saw that play and no flag came out?
Man, to be honest with you, man, watching it yesterday at the network, when I first seen it, I thought it was extremely a bang-bang play. You know, it was moving so fast. I thought it was a penalty, but I thought it was very close. I thought it was a bang-bang play. And then when they slowed it down in slow motion, I mean, it just looked ridiculous, and he got there extremely early. I mean, if he would have even had his head turned around, I mean, he possibly could have intercepted the ball. But it's just a call, man, that the referees blew. And the crazy thing about it is we're all making a big deal about it, but we've seen referees blow calls like this a million times, man. And it's just part of the game, you know. They're gonna miss calls, you know, as they go through games. And you know, it sucks that that one right there, you know, cost the Saints a trip to the Super Bowl. But I've been a part of some terrible ones, you know. I was a part of the Fail Mary and all that good stuff where the refs messed the call up. It didn't send us to the Super Bowl or have a chance to send us to the Super Bowl, but they missed calls. And that one right there, man, I know the Saints are going to lose sleep over for a long time.
James Jones joining us, NFL Network analyst. Let me ask you this, and I see the point. I mean, refs do miss calls. Players understand this. It happens in every single game. You've got to find a way to play through it. Is there any argument to be made, though, that they don't miss a call that blatantly and they don't miss it on that big of a stage and they don't miss it with a chance to go to the Super Bowl? In other words, is it different because of all that?
Oh, I definitely think it's different because of all that. I mean, it's the only game on TV. It's the only game that the whole world is watching. So, you know, shoot, they're not just watching the players. They're watching the refs, too. And, you know, if the whole world sees it and the referees on the field did not see the call, I mean, not that, that's a problem. But like I said, we easily can make a call watching it on TV, slowing it down in slow motion. I mean, none of us are referees and seeing how fast the game moves and calling the play and trying to call a foul. So, like I said, when I seen it in real live action, I thought it was a bang-bang play. And then when they slowed it down, I'm like, okay, I said, okay, he got there extremely early. But, you know, the refs got a hard job too, but that's your profession. Just like we tell kickers, you know, our job is to catch the ball and get you down there. Your job is to kick it. Referees, your job is to make that call. And in one of the biggest games of the year, for you to miss that call and, you know, basically stop the Saints from going to the Super Bowl. That's huge, man.
James Jones joining us. All right, so they've got a hard job. Nobody would dispute that. It's a really hard job, and especially with things moving that quickly. So should the league do everything they can to make their job easier? In other words, one of the solutions that's been talked about is allowing every single play to be reviewable or challengeable. Would you like to see that happen? Would that be a good fix?
I would not like to see that happen just because we all know, even as NFL players, it's a penalty on every play. So if we're going to stop and slow down a holding call and slow down a defensive pass interference, or, I mean, our games are going to be 10 hours long. You know, like, there's a penalty on every play. Guys are fighting, scratching, clawing every play. I mean, offensive line are holding, receivers are pushing off, DBs are holding. There's a penalty on every play. If a ref threw a flag every play, we'll have 10-hour football games. But like I said before, when you slow motion it, I mean, you can call a penalty every time. It's easy for us to do that when you're watching the play. So I disagree with that. You know, the refs are going to miss some calls. I mean, it's happened, you know, day near every game this season, you know, where the refs have missed a call. It sucked that it happened in a big game like that, but I don't want to see penalties and all that go to replay.
You know, what sucks also is we're not talking about the game. We're still talking about the refs. But once we get to the game, what do you make of the way the Rams battled back on the road against the Saints, despite the fact that they did not get very much at all from Todd Gurley?
Oh, man, listen, the Rams, they definitely surprised me. And Jared Goff grew up. He was calm, composed. Man, he made huge throws when he had to make them. I mean, I think the last throw to get him in that 57-yard field goal range where Cam Jordan was down his throat and he was able to hurry up and get that ball out to the flat to his tight end, man, that was a special throw. And then some of the key plays on 2nd and 10, 3rd and 10, you know, getting outside the pocket, making plays, he grew up. But that's why I said, man, that it was an extremely bad call at the end of the game, them not calling that call. But the Rams outplayed the Saints when they had to make plays. You know, you think even with that penalty, Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints offense have the ball in overtime to go down and score a touchdown, and Drew throws a pick. So you got to give credit to that Rams team, man. They came, they took the Saints' best punch early in the game. They stayed cool and calm. Gurley wasn't playing well, and they still went in that dome, extremely loud dome, and got the job done.
James Jones joining us. I agree. They were tough. They are really, really tough, and I thought that Goff outplayed Drew Brees, and I wouldn't have said that going in. And then you've got the Patriots and the Chiefs. First off, as a Super Bowl champion yourself, how much do you respect the fact that Tom Brady is going to his 9th Super Bowl? I mean, getting to 1 is incredible. How do you explain getting to 9?
Man, it is unbelievable, man. Watching that game yesterday, man, he's special. And, I mean, he didn't surprise anybody. We all know when he got that ball in overtime and they won the toss, we knew that, man, here we go. They're going back to the Super Bowl. He's going to drive them down there and get a touchdown. Man, he is special, man. And we always used to say, man, especially in Green Bay, man, it's extremely hard to get to a Super Bowl. Like, you need a lot of luck on your side. You need people to stay healthy. You got to make plays at the right time in all phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams. And they do it year in and year out, time after time, man. And it's special to watch. I mean, I was rooting against them, sure, like a lot of people was. If you don't live in Boston, was probably rooting against them, man. But they just keep doing it consistently, time after time after time. And you got to give them respect, man, for what they're accomplishing, man. This is truly special.
I mean, I could point to any number of things, James, but 2 weeks in a row, they come out in their opening drive and they methodically and patiently work their way down the field for a TD. How impressive are those drives to you, and how effective are they at setting the tone for the entire game?
Oh, man, those drives right there, man, will take the soul out you, man, especially the way Sony Michel was running the ball just straight down the throats of the Kansas City defense, and he did that last week against the Chargers defense, just straight down the throat. And when you get a running game with a special quarterback like Tom Brady, and where those linebackers got to step up and they got to try to stop that run, that's why you've seen so many, you know, catches by Edelman and Gronk behind the linebackers. Just it makes it total easy on Tom Brady, man, to just go down the field. And I mean, they played some smash mouth football yesterday. You know, it was a lot of people saying that defensive line from the Chiefs was going to get after the Patriots O-line, and the Patriots O-line looked like the best O-line in the National Football League. And it's obviously credit to Bill Belichick putting his players in the best situation, but they ran the ball down their throat when it mattered. And early in the game.
Yeah, I really thought it was going to be like what you just said. I really thought that KC would get pressure on Tom Brady because they do. But, man, the Patriots were so physical. They were so physical at the point of attack. Now, what if you're a Chiefs player or a Chiefs fan? How brutal is it to lose a game where you had a game-clinching INT taken off the board because one of your stars lined up in the neutral zone? How do you reconcile that going forward?
Man, you know, that hurts. You know, I was talking about it yesterday. It hurts, but it just seemed like stuff like that always falls in the Patriots' lap, man. Something always goes their way, you know, and they're a well-coached team. They don't do things like that to hurt themselves. I mean, the game is over. Tom throws an interception, and D Ford is offsides for a penalty. And when you go back and watch the film and, you know, you say, dang, the game is over right there. We are going to Super Bowl. We're getting our hats. We're about to celebrate in our home stadium, and, you know, D Ford offsides. I mean, that's a game-changing play, man. So you cannot make mistakes like that when you play the Patriots. If you do and you give them a second chance, this is what happens.
James Jones breaking it all down for us, coming up for a few more moments, actually. You know, it's early, and we're going to have 2 full weeks to get ready for this, so I want to bide my time accordingly. But what are your early thoughts on Pat's Rams? Who do you like in that game and why?
And I like the Rams in the game, and I'm strictly going because of the defense. The way the defense has been playing since they got to lead back. They've been playing lights out football. They've been stopping the run. I think that playing against the Dallas Cowboys woke their team up, and they've been stopping the run. And you've seen them against Drew Brees and that powerful offense down there in New Orleans, the way they shut them down. I like them, and I think the main reason is Aaron Donald and so in the middle. We always say middle pressure is how you get into Tom Brady's face, because he's not one of those mobile guys that can roll outside the pocket and do those things. So you got to get pressure up the middle. If you get pressure from outside, he's just going to step up in the pocket and deliver passes. But if you can get pressure from up the middle, you have a shot. And Aaron Donald and Sue can do that. So I like them in this game. But, I mean, we all know you got to beat Tom. You got to take it from Tom. So we'll see.
James Jones joining us. Listen, before you go, I've got a lot of listeners in Pittsburgh that I'm sure are curious about your thoughts about what's going on there. One of the big stories, of course, since the end of the regular season has been Antonio Brown's relationship with the Steelers. Based on your conversations with people around that team, what do you make of that situation?
From my conversations with people around there, man, it's a little bit of everybody's fault. But when I was on TV on Total Access, I just said that at one point, Big Ben gonna have to pat his chest. You know, people like a leader. People like a guy that's gonna take responsibility and take ownership for something. It always seems like he's blaming it on other people. I'm not saying AB is correct. I'm not saying Coach Tomlin is correct. They probably all got a little bit at fault. But at one point, you gotta pat your chest and stop blaming it on everybody. And you're the quarterback of this franchise. You know, and I understand you guys have miscommunication. That happens and all that. But you don't just throw people under the bus. You're the quarterback of the team. Pat your chest. It's my fault, you know, and let's move on. Let's try to get better.
James Jones joining us. It starts with a quarterback. Now, as I mentioned in the intro, in addition to your work with the NFL Network, you were also coaching your son, James Jones Jr., and his flag football team, the 6U Outlaws. How does the squad look, and what's it like coaching them?
Oh, man, I love it, man. They make me fall in love with the game all over again, man. I love seeing the smiles on their faces, especially when they do good, man. But, I mean, when you're coaching 6U kids, man, and all the energy they got, man, and just seeing them running around, man, it's a joy, man. But we started the season. We actually moved up this year. Even though our kids are still 6 and 7 years old, we moved up to play 8U to give them a little bit more competition. So we're 1-1 right now, but they're looking good, man. They're having a good season, but it's just night and day, man, from when we first started till now, man. And all the kids have gotten so much better, man, and that's what we love to see.
All right, so finally, you've got them playing up with 8- and 9-year-olds, but you're not just teaching them how to catch the ball or look it into their hands. You're doing ladder drills. You're teaching them to sink their hips, some incredible details. Do the kids, can they incorporate that? Can they work technique like that? What's it like that age?
Oh, they can, and that's why I said, man, it's night and day from how they just have grown up and gotten better, because if you would have seen them when I first started doing ladder drills and cone drills and all that, I mean, they were terrible. And now they look like professionals. You see them in the game. They slide and dropping their hips, breaking down, getting flagged. And when you teach them that at a young age, man, they can take a lot of these fundamentals, you know, basically for the rest of their career, you know, because you're going to use it however long you play football. And if you learn it now, all you got to do is just keep perfecting it and perfecting it. And the kids love it. Every day we get to the football field, they want to pull them cones out and them ladders out and get better and work on their feet. They get in the game. They come back, make a play. You see how I slid? You see how my feet? I'm like, man, I've seen it, man. So they're enjoying it. They love it, man. And it's just awesome to see them fall in love with the game, and their parents come to practice and be like, man, right when he leaves the game, he goes home, he picks up a football, he wants to go outside, he wants to do ladders, he wants to do cones, he just loves the game. And that's what makes me feel good, because as a coach, you know, it lets you know that you're kind of doing the right thing, man, and they're enjoying playing football.
It's the fundamentals. That's the team to watch, the 6U Outlaws football team. And you can watch James Jones throughout the week on NFL Network's NFL Total Access. Again, 7 p.m. Eastern. James, appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Good job. Good day.